Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. A reading from Luke chapter 19, beginning at verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to the house of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. As we stand, let us pray. Lord, take my words and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Do please have a seat. I once heard the story of a vicar who moved into a new church. The vicarage was old, and on the first night he slept in it, he and his wife were horrified to discover that it was haunted. There, at the foot of their bed, were three ghosts wailing and clanking. And the vicar didn't know what to do. And then his wife, who was a much more spiritual person, cried, "Let's pray. That may drive them off." And so they prayed. And the ghosts closed their eyes and bowed their heads devoutly and joined in the prayers. "I know," said the vicar. "Let's sing a worship song." So they sang, but the ghosts then joined in with the singing loudly. After a while, the vicar said, "I know." And then he turned to the ghosts and said, "We will now take up our financial offering." And at this, the ghosts vanished into thin air. As we continue our series on Luke's gospel, we're going to look at what it says about money. And if it seems rather pointed to you, I would suggest to you that when you read through a gospel, you won't go very long before you'll find it's talking about money, because the gospels, and I think Luke in particular, talk about money quite a lot. This is relevant to next week's Gift Sunday, but it is relevant to our wider lives. Talking about money may make us feel uncomfortable. It's a challenging subject. You may want to come back to me with your thoughts. But we can't escape it, not least because it's at the heart of our Bible reading about Zacchaeus and Jesus. So would you turn with me, please, to today's gospel reading. It's on page 994 of the Church Bibles, or do scroll down to it on your phone if you've got it there. Luke chapter 19, verse 1. Now, as I said, it's important to note as we look at this passage that the Gospels and the whole New Testament say a great deal about money. They don't skirt round the issue as if it was impolite. And on the same page of our church Bibles as this reading from Zacchaeus, if you look back into chapter 18, there's the story sometimes called the rich young ruler. And in it, verse 25 memorably declares that it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Very briefly, we could summarize the teaching of Jesus and the early church on money as saying that all we have comes from God. It is ultimately God's money, not ours. And this money is a very powerful force. And it can be a powerful force for evil. It can be our master and we its slave. The New Testament says that we need Jesus to be Lord of our money as well as Lord of the rest of our lives. And that will mean being generous in giving it away. There's nothing that dethrones the power of money like giving it away. Now we need to hold that wider teaching in our minds as we turn to Luke 19. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man there was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. Zacchaeus was someone who had a lot of wealth. But in reality, it wasn't so much him who had his wealth, but his health, his wealth that had him. And yet there is some inner itch in his life, making him want to know about this wandering preacher. He wanted to get near to Jesus. Only he had the sense he didn't want to get too near, looking from a vantage point on the side. He wasn't really expecting a conversation. And then we read in our reading that when Jesus reached the spot where Zacchaeus was, he looked up. Jesus here is actively seeking Zacchaeus out. It's not just a chance encounter. And later he insists on staying in Zacchaeus' house. He wants to be with Zacchaeus. He doesn't want just a brief exchange. Jesus is profoundly interested in Zacchaeus. And I think we can see here the model for how Jesus relates to people, how he relates to you and I. He is interested in us. He is seeking us out. God is not indifferent to us, not indifferent to what we do with our lives, and that includes what we do with what's in our bank balance. So the bemused Zacchaeus scrambles down, welcomes Jesus into his home, and then the muttering starts. How can he go to stay with him, says the crowd. Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. He was rich, and he'd got his riches by collecting taxes for the hated Roman conquerors. And the way that tax collecting worked in those days was that tax collectors routinely added a substantial cut for themselves. Jericho Twitter would have been ablaze with indignation that day. And yet we see in this encounter of Zacchaeus and Jesus that he is a profoundly changed man. Here the grasper becomes the giver. Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. We are right to see here, this is no half-hearted repentance. He really has got the issue at hand. He is letting go of greed by letting go of a huge slice of his wealth. Now notice how it starts with him saying, look, Lord. This is the spiritual hinge. It's the point where Zacchaeus gets what it's all about, because he gets who Jesus is. Lord. That is why he's changed. He's exchanged the one Lord, money, for another Lord, Christ. A right attitude to money is about knowing rightly who is Lord of our lives. And if you look through the books of Acts and Luke, what you'll find is that Lord is pretty much the most common title that Luke uses for Jesus across those books. It's endlessly cropping up, and it's a litmus test of how people see Jesus. You might think of the way in another gospel, Thomas, after meeting the resurrected Jesus, calls him my Lord and my God. It is at that point that we see the penny dropping for the Apostle Thomas. And it's at this point that we see the penny dropping for the tax collector Zacchaeus. Before, the Lord for Zacchaeus was money. Now it is Jesus. And for us, as we read this passage, we are asked anew, who is Lord for you, for me? Who is Lord of your money, of mine? Or is actually your money, my money, Lord over us? Now Jesus, faced with the newly generous Zacchaeus, says, today, salvation has come to this house, and how it has come, Jesus has come to save the lost. Zacchaeus then is clearly one of the lost. Yet he was a rich man, a man of great influence and power, a man who in one sense had it all. And that means, Jesus is saying, that people who have wealth and influence and clout can be as lost as anybody else. There is a temptation in the Christian life to see a particular sorts of people as particularly needing the gospel. And what Luke is saying here is that each one of us needs the Lord, whether we be very rich or very poor or very in between. And each one of us needs him as Lord across our lives. We can't reserve certain bits of our lives to ourselves. And you can be enslaved by money, both if you have a lot of it, but also if you have only a little. I don't think there's a person here, myself included, who is not challenged by what this reading is saying on the subject. There is not one of us, I believe, who does not in some way struggle with money. But it's also very important to recognize, because of this passage, that we can take huge heart. Remember how Jesus said in chapter 18 to the rich young ruler, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And it is, of course, worth noting that in global terms, pretty much everyone in the Western world would count as rich. When we read that camel through the eye of the needle phrase, things can feel hopeless. But notice how just a chapter later, here is Zacchaeus, who is effectively the camel going through the eye of the needle. Albeit he clearly had to shed a great deal before he could get through to Christ. We've looked at what the New Testament says then about money in general, and then we've looked narrowed down on this reading from Zacchaeus. How does this impact your life and mine? I'm very conscious that there are church members for whom money is very tight, and what I'm going to say now may not apply to you. But it will apply to a great many of us here. Firstly, this reading about Zacchaeus is a challenge as to whether we have our money or does our money have us. Luther said that the last part of a man or woman to be converted is their wallet or purse. Conversely, as we see from this reading, nothing dethrones the power of money in our lives like giving it away. So which one are we? Are we the rich young ruler? Are we Zacchaeus? And I think it's only right at this point to tell you how Lindsay and I approach this subject. And I stress I'm not saying this to claim we are better than anybody, but only that I think it's only fair you know our practice on the matter. For many years, we've aimed to give 10% of our income away, a practice commonly known as a tithe. And I have to say, as I look back across the years, sometimes that's been straightforward, and sometimes it's been a real struggle. But whether straightforward or tough, I would say that tithing, giving away 10% of one's income, is a good thing to aim for in the Christian life. Some will struggle with such a target, and that needs saying. Some could give more than 10%, and that needs saying too. Beyond this, can I say that I know many of you are already giving a proportion of your income to the work of St. Barnabas via standing order. Now, I want to say a big thank you to you for that. It's worth saying that when we pass the collection bag around in services, there are people who don't put anything in, and that doesn't mean that they are mean, that those people may well be already giving to this church by standing order. And giving by standing order is really helpful because it means as a church we can then plan forward knowing what a regular income is coming in week on week. But if you do give by standing order, can I ask when you last reviewed that giving? If you haven't reviewed it in recent years, inflation has eaten away its value significantly. And if your own income has risen during that time, it means you're actually cutting the proportion of your giving. Then there are those who give by the collection plate. And can I say firstly, thank you. That really helps. But can I ask you too to review your giving? If you don't raise it with inflation, that's effectively a cut. And can I also encourage you to think about giving by standing order? And that way the church knows week on week what's coming in. Then there may be those who are not yet giving to the work of St. Barnabas. And I want to encourage you to start doing so. You will bless others by doing that. And I believe as I look at the example of Zacchaeus, you will be blessed as you give. I'm fond of the abbreviation in sermons of the three P's. You may well, after this, begin to think that I can reduce any sermon into those initials. So let me give you three P's concerning giving. The P's are pray, plan, and pledge. Pray, plan, and pledge. We should all pray about our money. It's not ours, it's God's. We have to look towards God for guidance on what we do with it. Then secondly, we need to plan what we give, not just give on a whim. And after we've prayed and planned, it's good to make a concrete pledge of our intention. For when we make a pledge, then things tend to happen. If you just vaguely think I'll do something, well, things have a habit of staying vague. Next week, as we return our envelopes in the collection bag, we are then reviewing our giving. And we do that well if we pray, plan, and pledge. Let me conclude. The New Testament says a lot about money. And that's because it has a power over our lives. It had a hold on Zacchaeus, and it has a hold on each one of us. But the story of Zacchaeus is a glorious story of how Christ can reach anyone and how knowing him as Lord sets us free, not least from the power of money. Now that has a direct application for this church. Our income in recent years has been dropping. Now we're currently in a really exciting season where we're looking forward and saying, where, Lord, are you calling us next? But to follow that call into the future, we will need resources, and that includes financial resource. If we want to see great things done here under God, we will need serious resources to undergird that vision. And that's a challenge for each of us. Let me end with Zacchaeus. I think one of the most wonderful things about this passage is the way the new Zacchaeus is so much more attractive than the old Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus has found salvation by the end of the passage. He's not added an inch to his stature, but Zacchaeus by the end of the passage was a bigger man, a better man, as he knew Christ as his Lord. Amen.